Good morning, everyone. My name is Helen Ridgway, and I'm a very enthusiastic member of the Worldwide Fellowship of Al-Anon and Alateen. Hey, welcome to all of you. Let's open this meeting with a moment of silence, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. Welcome to all of you to the beautiful Texas Hill Country, to San Antonio, and to AA's 75th birthday. We get to really participate in a lot this weekend. Please turn off all cell phones or put them on silence. And I'm going to read the suggested Al-Anon preamble to the 12 steps. The Al-Anon family groups are a fellowship of relatives and friends of alcoholics who share their experience, strength, and hope in order to solve their common problems. We believe alcoholism is a family illness, and that changed attitudes can aid recovery. Al-Anon is not allied with any sect, denomination, political entity, organization, or institution, does not engage in any cause, neither endorses nor opposes any cause. There are no dues for membership. Al-Anon is self-supporting through its own voluntary contributions. Al-Anon has but one purpose: to help families of alcoholics. We do this by practicing the 12 steps of AA ourselves, by welcoming and giving comfort to families of alcoholics, and by giving understanding and encouragement to the alcoholic. I'm going to read the anonymity statement. There may be some who are not familiar with our tradition of personal anonymity at the personal level. If so, we respectfully ask that no Al-Anon, Alateen, or AA member speaker be identified by full name or picture in published or broadcast report of this meeting. The assurance of anonymity is essential to our efforts to help other families of alcoholics, and our tradition of anonymity reminds us to place principles above personalities. This meeting is being recorded. The topic of this meeting is sponsorship. And we have three speakers today. And our first speaker is Marilyn from Alberta.
Good morning. My name is Marilyn, and I am a grateful member of Al-Anon.
Hi, Marilyn.
Thanks. And I love an alcoholic. In fact, I love quite a few of them. And the reason I'm here today is to talk about sponsorship. Is there anyone here for the first Al-Anon meeting? Okay, well, I was just going to say, if you don't have a sponsor yet, don't necessarily take my word as the way to choose a sponsor or anything like that. We have an amazing pamphlet on sponsorship. And when I was first asked to be someone's sponsor, I got it and read it. And I should have read it before that, I think. But anyway, I'm just going to share about my experience with sponsorship. When I got to my first meeting of Al-Anon, I was afraid people there might be someone I know, and they'd see me, and I was embarrassed to be there. Of course, the first person I saw was a lady who just lived around the corner from me, and I knew her already from our twin and triplet, our babysitting co-op, actually. And I was like, oh, great. Anyway, she was my first inspiration and acted as, even though I didn't ask her to be my sponsor. She looked and sounded very wise to me. She made the tea at the beginning of the meetings. She set out the literature, and she was a great example and inspiration. She seemed to know the Al-Anon way of speaking, the program, I guess, and she seemed to have figured out a lot of things about her life and her marriage, her alcoholic husband, and so therefore I asked her a lot of questions. So she was actually my first sponsor. She, I phoned her. Actually, I phoned her a few times in the middle of the night, and I always expected that it was an amazing thing for some. You know, I mean, I always imagined that it'd be an amazing thing. Phone me anytime, right? Phone me anytime. And she was very patient. She picked me up for meetings. I had three little children. But she also constantly asked me, so what are you going to do? She didn't tell me the answers. And that's another reason why I felt she was a really good sponsor. And the first person I asked to be my sponsor was another lady. She was quite a bit older than me. I was 24 when I came to Al-Anon. And she seemed very wise and comforting, almost like a mother. But then about 2 weeks later, she moved away. I didn't get to know her even, and she moved away. I didn't ask another person to be my sponsor. And I used my friends in my group. And when I started to do service work, which is about 2 years later, I asked for I asked questions like crazy. In fact, in the Al-Anon Information Services meeting, I would ask questions, and then I started to notice people going, oh, not her again, because I wanted to know everything. I was very curious, and I loved Al-Anon. I felt passionate about it, and I knew the value. I'd seen the value in my first 2 years of how it helped people. And the district rep for my district was my sponsor. And I didn't know, back then I don't think people talked about service sponsor. To me it was all the same. In order to be a good person, good service person, I needed to do my own recovery. That was part and parcel of it. I didn't see the separate part of it as I grew up in Al-Anon. So that was my introduction to service, and at the same time my own personal beginning in growth, doing the steps and studying all our literature. And the other thing that I wanted to mention was, through all this, first, I'd say 5 or 6 years, my lifesaver was conference-approved literature. And the One Day at a Time book was the main book I used, and then there became more books after that. But at first, that's really the one that I had. And I learned a lot from the books. And I realized that in those first few years of Al-Anon that everybody has a different way of working their program and that there isn't just one way. And for me, that was very valuable because I'm kind of one of those rebellious little kids who, if you tell me to do something, I might say, yeah, but I think I know a better way. So I don't think even if I had a sponsor who wanted to tell me what to do, it would have worked for them. I think after about 5 or 6 years, I started to realize that I needed to go forward. And it was about that time that I got asked to be a sponsor. And that's when I grabbed that pamphlet, sponsorship. It's been changed a little bit over the years, but that was my lifesaver, because that's an important job. You know, someone asking me to be their sponsor, and I don't even have a real asked someone to be my sponsor. So I did do that. I talked to people about what's your sponsor like, what does your sponsor do. I found for me the most important thing about being a sponsor is to listen. Just listen. I got asked to do listen to fifth steps as a sponsor, and that to me was a very, very a huge privilege, I guess the word would be. It was a privilege to be asked that, and I took it very, very seriously. I always encourage people that I sponsor, or just people that I talk to casually that are in the program, is that they need to find their own way. all of our books and literature do tell the Al-Anon program. They tell a million different people's opinions about, you know, and attitudes about how to work the program. And for me, it's important for people to find their own way. When I got to Al-Anon, I was like a little kid. I was 24, but I really felt like I was 13. I didn't know where I was going, what my goals were, and I saw Al-Anon as my way to find that path. And for me, that's the inspiration I like to pass on to people. They go, well, what will I do? And I said, ask your higher power. Go to meetings. Listen to everybody. Take what you like. Leave the rest. All the answers are there. You just need to find your own, because there's no one who knows you like you do. And I also realized during those first few years of being a sponsor that what I heard was only one side of the story. Because a relationship takes two people. So when someone told me something, I always believed it, but I have to see that a perspective can be so different. So the other side of their relationship can be an opposite story. And I think my husband and I saw that as he started working in AA and we met husbands and wives of people. We really had to keep that in mind as well as sponsors and as friends of people who were looking to us for help. I don't know if I've taken 10 minutes. I think I have almost. One of the biggest lessons I've learned from being a sponsor and from the inspiration of those around me that are great examples is acceptance. And to love and accept someone just as they are is one of the biggest things that I can do as a sponsor of somebody. And I definitely have felt that way from my Al-Anon friends that have been my sponsor, both in service and in my own personal life. I've always got amazing tidbits of information from people, you know, things like listen and learn, the tips we have sitting waiting for us right in our literature, and also having compassion and acceptance for people. All I need, really, love, acceptance, and compassion is all I need for someone who needs a sponsor. And also that I am responsible for myself. Nothing really new or earth-shaking. It's just the things that I've learned by participating in my meetings and participating in Al-Anon service work. So I'd like to thank you all for listening, and I'm looking forward to hearing from everybody. Thanks.
Thank you, Marilyn. Okay, next we're going to hear from Darcy from North Dakota.
Well, I'm Darcy from North Dakota, Bismarck, North Dakota. And my talk about sponsorship is based on the Al-Anon Alateen Service Manual, 2006-2009. And I was told that everything you need to know about sponsorship is in your manual. So if you ever get questions or you want to know what's going on, look to your service manual. There is the service sponsorship workshop, Working Together to Recover, the bookmark, and sponsorship, what it's all about, recovery, another pamphlet, and the other one is service sponsorship. So there are some conference-approved literature that you can look at if you want to know more about sponsorship. I'm going to use that information, the conference-approved literature, and kind of take you through my journey. Sponsorship, working together to recover. When I entered the walls of Al-Anon family groups, I was teamed up with two Al-Anon sponsors, wives of AA sponsors for my husband. The treatment center mandated sponsors for patients prior to being discharged. This was probably higher powered, since I wouldn't have addressed that need then. One of the questions raised by newcomers is, when should I get a sponsor? How do I choose a sponsor? There are no musts, but having constant close personal support between meetings helps not only in dispelling confusion, but in discussing problems on a one-to-one basis. Choosing a sponsor. Sponsorship is about trust. It is about learning to reach out in a positive way, to be willing to ask for help to recover from the disease of alcoholism, using the tools of the Al-Anon program. We may become friends with our sponsors, but our focus is on recovery. I learned to trust. I would call to hear a safe voice on the other end of the telephone. One sponsor laughed and said that I called and she told me her problems. I needed someone to bond with. I learned how to have fun and socialize with my husband and friends. One day I came home from work and the two AA sponsors had worked with my husband and built a picnic table. They bought KFC chicken, and all of us, my husband's sponsors and mine, Al-Anon, ate on the newly built picnic table. They were so proud of this, and I felt a lot of hope and gained respect for my husband. I learned how to take my inventory in a non-judgmental way. My sponsor addressed one of my problems of being flexible or unable to make a decision. When asked what I wanted to drink, I would routinely reply, "I'm flexible." Finally, she stated, "Okay, you'll get Coke, Mellow Yellow, and root beer combined. What is it you want? Make up your mind." We moved to Jamestown for 4 years. When I was living in Jamestown, I found a mutual sponsor. She had requested I sponsor her, and I asked if she would reciprocate. We were able to toss information back and forth in between meetings and share our experience, strength, and hope with each other. We studied and applied the tools of the program. During that period, my husband and I separated for a year. There were lots of bumps in the marriage. Our daughter was a teenager affected by alcoholism and demonstrating difficult behaviors. Our marriage was fragile, and we were not able to withstand the additional stresses. My husband went into a dry drunk, and I was not able to figure out what was mine or his. I was able to trust enough to discuss very difficult areas to someone who allowed me to hear myself think, to gently prod me, to provide unconditional love. By working the program, I was able to use my sponsor to work the tools. I was able to ask my higher power for direction and be open-minded to explore and follow through. My husband and I remained connected through our Allopup. He would come and walk the dog. We loved each other, but needed this separation. Each of us was able to use that year in regaining recovery. We did reunite. But before we did, my husband did something awesome. The trust he placed in our first sponsors prompted him to have us return to visit them. I felt like a broken toy. This visit was healing and higher powered. Feelings and emotions poured out of me. The couple loved us unconditionally, no strings attached, no advice. They just loved us. That is sponsorship. My first Al-Anon sponsor was very dear to me. She is a special part of my recovery. Our ties were loosened over the years. It is okay to change sponsors with life's changes. This year, my sponsor died. I will miss her. My other sponsor, no longer attends meetings. She was so important to my recovery when I needed her most. Often, a sponsor is the first person to give us unconditional love. This is a gift, and it is contagious. Switching gears to service sponsor. The responsibility of the service sponsor is similar to that of being a personal sponsor. Just as you walked someone through the steps, you similarly guide them in applying the traditions and concepts of service to Al-Anon as a whole. You might accompany them to service events and encourage them to move on to another service position, usually just as their current term of office is ending. When questions or conflicts occur, sponsors refer sponsees to Al-Anon Alateen's service manual for guidance. They keep the principle of group conscience in the forefront and acknowledge that it is a power greater than themselves that is running the show. Service sponsors. I have used them when I accepted new positions and have helped those who have accepted my positions. When I willingly agreed to the delegate position, I found myself being mentored by the past delegate, sponsored by the World Service Conference delegate, and receiving lots of support by those who had experiences in the position prior to my accepting it. I found that I learned things on a need-to-know basis and had a lot to learn. There is no stupid question, and it is safe to ask questions. It builds a lot of trust and connectedness by reaching out to someone who can help you. My initial contact was through email and phone, and it was so exciting to meet my new service sponsor at World Service Conference. She took me through the orientation and sat with me, and she's sitting with me right now. I continued to keep in contact with her. My mentor, the past delegate, directed me through what to expect and what was expected of me. This safety net has allowed me to feel more confident. When my service position ended, I became willing to sponsor the new delegate. She now sponsors me as area chairperson. Many members feel their relationship with a sponsor is a vital part of their recovery process. It is often the beginning of learning to communicate and trust in others again. Isolation, despair, withdrawal can be replaced by reaching out with hope, expanding and growing, guided by our higher power to another human being in unconditional love. We recover in ratio that we work our program. We learn by giving, by teaching, by doing, by service work, by passing our program on. Sponsorship is working together to recover.
Okay, and our third speaker this morning is Marley from Idaho. Marley.
Hi, I'm Marley.
Hi, Marley.
And I am a very grateful member of the Worldwide Fellowship of Al-Anon, and it really brings that home being at an international convention. I am from Sandpoint, Idaho, and we have some Sandpoint people here and some other Idaho people here. And my home group is the Thursday Noon Happy Solutions Group in Sandpoint. And about that name, I just want to say, you know, we're not always happy, of course, but we do have solutions. And the steps and also the wonderful tool of sponsorship. And sponsorship to me ties into the fact that we are a we program, you know, not in a Scottish sense, but together we can do what none of us can do alone. And there's no requirement, of course, that we have a sponsor or that we be a sponsor. But in my experience, both aspects of sponsorship have just really deepened my recovery. I really can't imagine, you know, having stayed in this program for this long without having strong sponsorship and then in turn being able to share my experience, strength, and hope, you know, with the women that I sponsor. When I was new in the program, like a lot of people, you know, I was just in a world of pain and didn't know which end was up. And people talked about working the steps, and I was like, what does that mean? You know, we read them, you know, at every meeting, but is it what, you just read them over and over? You know, do you talk about them? Do you read them out loud? You know, what? And write an inventory. I just, you know, it was all beyond me. And I heard that, well, you get a sponsor and they'll help you through the steps. And I thought, that's great. Get a sponsor. And then it was like, well, you ask somebody. And I was like, what? They could say no, you know, I don't need rejection. And so it became this, you know, big deal to ask somebody to be a sponsor. And I wanted to ask this one woman, and I never could. I don't know, I would call her and then make up a reason why I was calling her. You know, I was new. And then I did ask this other woman, Susan, to be my sponsor. And she was my sponsor for about, I think, about 6 months. And she was great. We would meet and talk. But I really didn't feel like I was making any real progress, and it was me. And I'm a person, I need structure and direction. And I didn't even know that about myself, you know, at that point. And Susan, that was my sponsor then, she had some health problems, and she ended up leading Al-Anon and not coming anymore. So I was kind of back to square one. And then during this period of time, I had met this somewhat terrifying woman in Al-Anon. She sponsored a couple of friends of mine, and I was just so intimidated by her because she'd been in Al-Anon, you know, a long time, and she had very definite ideas about how to work the program, and she was big and imposing and tough. You know, she was tough, and she actually expected the people she sponsored to do stuff, and it was a little scary, and I was like, I don't think so. Well, she's been my sponsor now for close to 19 years, so obviously I got over that. And I want to tell how that happened, and to do that I need to kind of backtrack a little in terms of my story. My dad was killed when I was a little girl, when I was 6. My dad was a Marine pilot and kind of a daredevil kind of guy, alcoholic. And he'd been out drinking with his buddies and driving home in the middle of the night. His car was hit by a train, and he was killed. So there's that. And then flash forward, I'm in Santa Monica at some huge meeting, and Betty Ann, this scary lady, is telling her story. And she shares about how when she was a little girl, her mother was rushing home from work to make dinner for the alcoholic, and her car was hit by a train, and she was killed. And that got my attention. You know, I was like, still have never met anyone else that has lost a parent, you know, like I had. And not that I've been looking, but, you know, it was just kind of really hit home. And I think what happened that evening was that I heard my story. You know, we're told that in our meetings, if you stick around long enough, you'll hear your story. And that's what happened. I heard a real key part of it. So the scary lady didn't seem so scary anymore. And after the meeting, I went up and asked her to be my sponsor, and she didn't bite my head off. She said, yes, but there are a couple things I'd like you to do. I want you to call me every day for 2 weeks. And I said, okay. And I want you to write a short autobiography. And I said, okay. And she goes, and then we're going to work the steps. And I was like, ooh. And it was like I had, here's what I do. I can do this. I can call, and I can write an autobiography, and I can do the readings for the steps and meet with her. And it just kind of gave me the structure that I needed. And you know, it's not for everybody, like people have been talking about today. You know, there are different ways to work the program, but that really worked for me. And what she didn't tell me that day was that, you know, when you have a sponsor who's active, you're going to end up being more active in the program, whether you want to or not. And so there were meetings, a lot more meetings. Fellowship after the meetings and being tired was not a reason not to go. And volunteering for committees, for conventions. And this was in Southern California, where there seems to be something program-related like every other weekend, or when we were just going all the time. And she'd say, oh, there's a meeting over here, and they need a speaker. I know you'll be perfect for it. And I was like, okay. So I definitely was getting out of my comfort zone. I was doing things not necessarily always joyously, sometimes a little resentfully, sometimes reluctantly, but I was getting out of my comfort zone, and I was involved and participating and working the steps, and I got better, you know, kind of against, you know, what I wanted to be doing, but I did it. And I have to say, having a long-term relationship with a sponsor has been just an amazing benefit that I never could have foreseen when I asked Betty Ann to be my sponsor. She's just always there for me, and she knows me really well. She knows my kids. She knows my husband. And, in fact, her husband is my husband's AA sponsor. So between the two of them, they know everything, and there are no secrets. And, you know, she always, always pulls me back to that spiritual perspective. You know, she always reminds me that there is a spiritual solution for every problem. And when things are tough and recent, I'm talking about not just when she was first sponsoring me, there's been some rough times, you know, in the past couple of years. You know, it's back to basics. I call her every day, and it's, you know, I'm praying and I'm meditating, and she's reminding me to surrender, and, you know, and she'll tell me, you know, just relax. Did you turn this over to your higher power? And I'm like, yeah. And she goes, you let God worry about it for a while. You know, just try and relax and have a good time. And, you know, at this point, we're just really good friends, and she's still my sponsor, and I do take directions. I trust her implicitly, and, you know, it's just, like I said, just such a gift, you know, to have that relationship in my life. And then about 15 years ago, we moved to Sandpoint, Idaho, which is a pretty small town, and over the course of the years, I now sponsor a number of women up there, and, you know, I'm not a clone of my sponsor. We have very different personalities. I don't sponsor people the way that she does, but I've borrowed a lot from her. And when people ask me if I'll be their sponsor, I ask them if they could, you know, I'd like them to call me for 2 weeks every day. And if they miss a couple of days, I don't really care. You know, stuff happens. But it's just to kind of establish that connection and reaching out. And I love it because... I love it because, you know, I get that call and it's immediately I'm back into, oh yeah, Al-Anon, spiritual solution, yay. And so it really is helpful to me too. And I have them do a brief autobiography, not a book, because it helps me to see the whole picture. And I know when I did an autobiography, it really helped me to kind of lay out my life and go. And I was at the time going, why didn't I get into Al-Anon when I was 20? You know, I could do this in like a paragraph. But no, it was 40 and it was like pages. But anyway, but it really helped me to just kind of lay everything out and see, kind of start to see the patterns in my life. And we work the steps and we do readings in connection with that. For every step, we read from the Al-Anon 12 and 12. And I also, we do some readings from the Big Book, which I know is not conference approved, and we don't use it in meetings, but I do use it in sponsorship because I got a lot out of reading the Big Book, you know, and that the whole concept of its cunning, the cunning and baffling and powerful nature of alcoholism, and yet here is the spiritual solution that really nobody even has to earn, you know, it's just there. And it's very powerful. And then there's a writing. I use another workbook that was put together by a couple of people in the program that has a same kind of very strong spiritual approach and also some great ideas about writing on the steps. For example, the first step is, you know, write an emotional description of how you came to experience defeat and what made you reach out for help. And they don't have to be anything lengthy. And I meet with the people for every step that I sponsor, and there's a lot of face-to-face contact. And, you know, it's so rewarding to have people put their trust, you know, in me. And I'm past the point of worrying, like, am I going to do this perfectly? Oh, my gosh, if I don't, they're going to leave Al-Anon. It's all my fault. You know, I went through all that stuff early on. I would panic early on when people would call me because what if I didn't say the right thing? And, you know, it's a lot more about trusting in a higher power and trusting the process and, you know, all of that wonderful principles that we have and being able to share that. And, you know, we can't keep it unless we give it away. So, it's just a really, really rewarding experience to sponsor people. And I wanted to share something. We've recently in Sandpoint, we borrowed a tradition. Where am I on time? We borrowed a tradition from the TGIF group in Woodland Hills in California. And we celebrate birthdays, and we do the milestone birthdays, like 5, 10, 15 years. And it's open to anybody in our meetings, and we have a sign-up sheet. If you want to have a party, put your name down. And somebody hosts it, and if it's somebody I sponsor, I host it. And we do skits that are, you know, ridiculous, and we have, you know, music and, you know, that's kind of tied to the person's life, and it's a potluck, and it's great food. And we laugh, you know, we celebrate recovery because for so many of us, there, I know when I came in, I just, you know, there wasn't a whole lot to laugh about, and I could never imagine being in a place of having something to celebrate, you know, and I really, really just, it's so important to have that, you know, and see how far we've come. And of course, no matter how many years in the program that we have, you know, we still run into situations. And so anyway, it's wonderful. I love this program, and I love the that we can have fun, and we can also cry when we need to, and we have sponsors that we can talk to, you know, if we choose to go that route. And I would strongly encourage anybody to just even get a temporary sponsor and see how it goes. And I'm just very grateful to be here, and I don't think I have anything else to say. And thank you.
Okay, now, thank you, ladies, all three of you. We've had a wonderful input about sponsorship. And now it's your turn. We have two microphones at the front of the room. If you would please come and share for a couple of minutes, two minutes. And I'm not going to time you. I'm not going to buzz you. But just keep it brief so that perhaps everybody gets a chance to share. We have about 50 more minutes in our workshop. So if you just come and line up at the microphone, if you would, or whatever you're comfortable with, and share on sponsorship, I would appreciate it. I think Nancy's going to get there first. Yeah, turn them around so that you're facing the audience, if you would. Okay, Nancy.
Hi, my name is Nancy, and I am from San Antonio, Texas. I was in Al-Anon about 24, 25 years and felt real stuck about sponsoring people. One of my issues when I did my fourth step was if I don't know how to do something, I panic. I just shut down. And we suddenly had an influx of people in our group, and I was the only real old-timer there, physically too, but And so I had three people that really, I was the only person that they could really, that I could really work with. And I thought, oh my God, what do I do? And it occurred to me I could call my sponsor and ask her. And it was really a change in my recovery because I needed a tool. And at the same time I was going to a conference, I heard an AA speaker say, you know what's wrong with the program? If you want real recovery, you got to work the steps. And that goes for you Al-Anons too. I thought, oh, my God, I never had anybody take me through the steps. I've always had a sponsor, and in crisis we talked a lot, but I never had anybody do that. I went to a lot of step meetings, but I never had a tool in my hand to take somebody through the steps. And back then, we didn't have paths to recovery. And so the speaker gave me a set of tools, and my sponsor gave me a set of tools. And what it was it named the step. It told all the literature that the step was in, and it had pertinent questions to ask. And I had some in my hand, and then after an interview with them, I gave them that sheet, and they worked the step. And then we met, and we talked about the things they wrote. And the difference was, when I took them through it, it was something, and I met every week with them, so we knew we would do it in 12 weeks, because we took a couple extra days on the fourth step. The difference is the sponsorees are now sponsoring people because they have a tool. And our group has grown from 5 to 6 regulars to we have up to 30 people because they're all working the steps. Thanks.
Good morning. My name is Lorraine from Connecticut. My first meeting was on Mother's Day, And as my husband and I were driving to go to a meeting, he had been in 6 days, and he was also a retired police officer. So he said to me on the way there, make sure you don't say anything in the meeting because there's a lot of sick people in those rooms. I was terrified. I thought maybe somebody might be in that room. They'll know him. If I say something, it'll get back to him. So I was terrified. And as soon as I heard people sharing, I knew I was in the right place. And I had a lady approach me, ask me if I needed a sponsor. I said, oh, God, I was afraid to say anything. But I continued to go to meetings, and I got a sponsor, and that didn't work out. I got a second sponsor. That was okay. And I got a third sponsor who I've had for 23 years today. And for me, it was important to find someone that could identify what I had gone through. Because I knew some were there for their children, some were there for their parents, and I couldn't identify with that. But someone that my sponsor had gone through the same thing, and her husband was her qualifier. And as years, my husband didn't like me to go to Al-Anon. He thought I was there to talk about him. I said, this is for me. So the more he said, don't go, the more I went. I would go quite often I was going to at least 7 meetings a week. And quite often I would go to an open AA meeting from 7 to 8. And then in the same building, my Al-Anon meeting from 8:30 to 10. And I felt that it helped me to hear also the other side. Through that, I've done a lot of sponsorship. And each person that I've sponsored, I've brought them to also open AA speaker meeting, so they could also hear. I thought I was the only one that was going through all this when I first walked in those rooms. And, wow, these people have been through the same thing I've been through. So that was so important to me today. And today, you know, both my husband and I have 24 years in our room program. And I don't think I could have done. And so I don't think the marriage would have survived if I had not had my program. The first thing we did is he made his program number one, and I made my Al-Anon number one. And through that, we have been married 48 years this month. And I just love Al-Anon, because they gave me all the tools that I needed to help to keep our marriage together. So wonderful. And I've also gone, like when my husband celebrates his anniversary, I'll go with him, and they call me Saint Lorraine. So thank you, and it's such an honor to be here and see all these smiling faces. We're all smiling. Thank you.
Hello, I'm Nancy. Hi, and I'm from Nathrop, Colorado, a little mountain town. And sponsorship, I got my first sponsor after 4 years in the program, and I can remember it was a share a day, And this woman and I really clicked, and it was the start of a lot of growth in the program. I'd been going to meetings for 4 years and trying to still figure it out in my own head. And things weren't working really well that way. And then I came here today. I thought, yeah, sponsorship. Am I doing it right? I've got a couple sponsors now. And what I heard was that there's so many different ways and that it's a higher power thing. The black and white thinking that I resort sometimes, which tells me that there's one way to do everything. And I don't know if I can remember that sentence.
You need to find out.
I need to find out the way to do it and am I doing it right. And, of course, I was reminded that we each have our own unique way within the program, and some things work for some people and some things don't work for someone else. So it was really good to come and just be reminded that there is that spiritual solution to things, and that if I turn over my own thoughts, that the higher power will come in and will help me in my dealings with my sponsees. And I'm a new DR, so I'm practicing getting up at the mic, so I knew I had to come up and give it a little try. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Barbara Wright, and I'm a grateful member of Al-Anon from Ohio.
Hi, Barbara.
I want to thank the chairperson and the speakers for your preparation and for sharing with us. It was really fabulous. Just what I needed this morning. When I first came into Al-Anon, and you told me I was, you suggested to me that I needed to find a sponsor, and that it should be a woman, I was petrified. I wasn't going to tell any woman my deep, dark secrets. I didn't have a clue what to do with women. And that was the beginning, just introducing that idea to me. I don't recommend anybody do it the way I did it. I waited a long time to get a sponsor, and I thought I could do it all myself. And as the longer I waited, the more things I added to that list that my sponsor had to have, and all the things she had to be. And, you know, I was doing my same old setting myself up for failure, because you can't find that perfect person. It's, you know, she's not going to be out there. And it gave me excuses to procrastinate and to delay. And it was just, you know, my program had complete liftoff when I did finally ask someone to sponsor me. And, you know, it really was probably the first time since my parents that I received unconditional love. And then in sponsoring someone, I was able to practice giving that unconditional love. I'm also able to practice detachment, because when I first started sponsoring people, if they called me and told me, you know, like, you know, shared with the problems in their home and you know, an argument they might have with their husband, I'd hang up the phone and yell at my husband. And he would just like, whoa, where did this come from? So I learned detachment, and I also learned how to have boundaries and to take care of myself, and that sometimes it really wasn't a good time for me to take a phone call, and that was okay, that I wasn't everything to this person, that I couldn't be everything, and that might be a lesson to help them reach out to yet another person also. So it's definitely a vital, vital part of my program. I've had times where I've become very complacent in this area, just like other parts of my program. But there's usually some loud, you know, nudge. It's not just a whisper from my higher power, but a kick. And then I know that it's time to get moving. Thank you very much.
Hi, my name is Liz, and I'm from Bucks County, Pennsylvania.
Hi, Liz.
Hi. Thank you so much, all of you, for sharing this morning. And, you experience strength and hope. When I came into the program, the home group I came into, I can't say they actually told us what to do, but if they suggested something in my head, it turned out to be an instruction. And I'm very good at taking instruction. I need clear-cut direction, and they gave it to me. When I first came around, we had to go to 6 meetings, newcomer meetings, before we were allowed to come back into the normal meeting. That's the way that group handled it. And it so happened that one of the people that took me out frequently was this one woman that I didn't like her. I just didn't like her. She was cold, and I didn't want to be cold. I wanted to be warm and loving and sweet and a doormat. And she wasn't. So I really had a resentment right off the bat, but I didn't know what it was called. She was my sponsor for the next maybe 28 years. And that was a blessing. That was a wonderful, wonderful blessing because I learned to get a little bit from her personality and blend it with mine, and I wasn't as much of a doormat. But you know, one of the problems that I had with, in sponsorship, with her sponsoring me, I was in need of help desperately. I really, really was. I was living with active alcoholism, and I had 2 little kids. And she did a lot for me. Sometimes I would call her 3 and 4 times a day if I was in crisis, and that was okay. She gave me this, what she used to call a shot in the arm, and she would give me the strength to get through that day or that phone call or that whatever it was. And she would be there in the middle of the night. I had to leave in the middle of the night one time with these kids. And I said, I don't know what to do. I'm in the middle of this little town on a payphone. That was a long time ago. And she said, well, I know what you can do, and my garage door will be open for your car. So I spent the next maybe week at her house with my kids before I made the next move. But she was there for me, you know, and I don't forget that. When I sponsor people today, I remember to be there as best I can be. And if it's the middle of the night, that's okay. In my home, that's okay because I do live with sobriety today. A different alcoholic. I love them all. But my husband is sober, and it's okay when people call us in the middle of the night. But what happened was that sponsor stopped going to Al-Anon after maybe 28 years of being my sponsor. I was stuck. I didn't know what to do. I guess the ego got in my way. It's like, okay, I need a new sponsor, but where do you find one with over 30 years that you like what they've got? And I got stuck there. And that was very difficult for me because I'm thinking that I need to have somebody with more time. And you don't. You don't. So I found a wonderful sponsor who has less than half of the time that I have, and I learned so much from her. And she's wonderful. And I just want to pass that on because I didn't realize that that was okay. You know, it was okay to do that. And I do want to just say one thing about being an Alateen sponsor, too. I think that is essential in my life and my growth and my recovery. Sponsoring those Alateens was unbelievable. The growth that I got from them was far beyond what they got from me, I'm sure. It's just amazing to watch them turn into butterflies and fly and be independent and on their own. And I just wanted to say, if anybody's thinking about it, do it. Go for it, because they love you unconditionally. So that's what I have to share. Thanks for letting me be here.
Good morning. My name is Jody, and I am from Fort Wayne, Indiana. I've been a member of Al-Anon for about 5 years. When I first came to my first several Al-Anon meetings, I was there to learn how to fix my alcoholics in my life. And I didn't want to get too involved in Al-Anon. I didn't want any to tell people about my my life, my problems, because I figured if they learned too much about me, if I got too involved in the program, that I was going to change. And I liked me. I was a wonderful person, so I didn't want anybody changing me or thinking they were going to change me. I still wanted to do my own things, my own way. I knew that I had the right way if everybody would just listen to me. So I was in the program for about, I would say, 6 months. And I was looking for a sponsor, and I found the person that I wanted to be my sponsor. She had what I wanted, and she knew her steps. She knew the steps in and out, it seemed like to me, and I wanted that information. I wanted to be the best version of myself. And I met with my sponsor once a week. At each meeting, we would schedule another meeting. She would give me homework, and I loved that. I'm missing the word. That structure, and I got that structure out of it, and that's what I really needed. I'm that kind of a person that needs structure and homework. So when I was on about my ninth or tenth step, I learned that there was other people in the program that were looking for sponsors, and my sponsor gave me the okay to start, talking with people and becoming their sponsor. And I was scared to death. I'm like, oh no, I need a little bit of time after I finish my steps to get more, to make sure that I know what I'm talking about. Make sure I know the steps and I know what I'm going to be saying to my sponsees. But she's like, no, you don't need to do that because you're always going to be learning new things. You're always going to be growing on your foundation. It's progress, not perfection. So I started sponsoring when I was on about my 10th step. And sponsorship has been a great thing for me, because most of all, what I've gained from it is, if I'm going to give suggestions to my sponsee, I better be following those suggestions. And if I'm not, there's something wrong with my program. And working with each step with my sponsee is like me working my steps over again. And it just reinforces, the more I go over it and over it, the more that I know the information. And that is so beneficial for me, because I have a head injury. And so in order to get things ingrained in my head, I have to learn it over and over again. So doing that is beneficial for me. When I take on a new sponsee, or when somebody asks me to be their sponsor, I plan a meeting with them first. I don't want them to rush into it. I want to make sure that I'm what they think they need. I let them know that I've a meeting with them a couple times before they make a decision that I'm who they want. I don't want them to settle. I don't want them to rush into it. If they're first coming to Al-Anon and they've only been there for one meeting and they want a sponsor, I say, okay, I'll be your sponsor, but if you want to call me for a few times, but you may decide that you want somebody else for your sponsor. So I'm going to give you that right. So I won't start working the steps with them until they learn, or until they really make the decision. And then I sit down with them and I give them my requirements. We need to have a meeting a week. Sit down together for an hour and a half each week. We need to start working the steps immediately. And they need to attend at least one meeting a week on their own, a group meeting a week. Let's see, what's another? Another requirement I have, and these requirements are I'm very flexible with it. If there's a problem or something, that's fine. You know, if they can't make a meeting or with me for a couple weeks, or, you know, if they have an illness or they're going on vacation or out of town, have a family crisis or whatever, I totally understand that. That's fine. I can work with that. They can work with that. Flexibility is a very big thing. But one thing with me is I feel like I'm kind of hardcore in my ways. I come from a law enforcement background, and I can talk to Lorraine about that. Before Indiana, I lived in Connecticut, and I was in law enforcement, so we might have a lot to talk about. So I find myself being a little more hardcore than a nice, easygoing, lovable, I don't know, I'm at a loss for words, but I am compassion tolerant and lovable, but I found that through the program. I learned that through the program. I wasn't like that before Al-Anon. And when I came to Al-Anon, a big thing that I wanted was to be kinder and gentler, because in law enforcement, you have to be a hardened person, and I was very hardened. And so I just wanted to be more kind and gentle, and I learned to do that, and I'm a much more happier person being kind and gentle. And I think that's about all I have to share. Thank you very much.
Hi, my name is George, and I'm a very grateful member of Al-Anon.
Hi, George.
And my home group is Jocelyn Park, Saturday in Santa Monica. It's a speaker meeting. I love it because we get to hear the whole story of the problem and the solution in some depth. I came to Al-Anon totally broken about 2.5 years ago. My life was in a shambles. I had some experience in the other program with the steps and with the sponsor. My first sponsor took me through the steps. It was great. But I changed sponsors to someone who had what my character defects wanted. And after about 10 years, he realized that I had what he wanted, and he pretty much drained my bank accounts and more. And so I was left in debt and really bad shape. In the romance area, I was trying to save the last of what I hope is a series of lovely young women from addiction and alcoholism, and it wasn't working, surprise, and it was, my life was just unbearable, this one was much worse than all the others, although she was sweeter. She was the sweetest heroin addict I ever tried to save, but you can't. So I was desperate, and finally, although people had been suggesting for 15 years that I go to Al-Anon, I finally did. And you have opened the door for my higher power to save my life. And it wasn't open before. You know, with all the experience I've had, I'm very active in service, step studies all the time, but it only addressed a certain problem, and here's the problem I have. Aside from being overly demonstrative. And I got a sponsor right away after a couple of months. You know, I heard a guy who he told my story, and he had what I wanted. But the sponsorship relationship wasn't working for me. He had me call him, and his answering machine would take my message. He wanted me to call him once a week. And he didn't return my calls for about 3 weeks. I talked to him once a month. And we met, I think, twice, you know, over a period of about 6-7 months. And that just wasn't working for me, because I was really desperate. And, you know, we talked, and, you know, he kind of was bringing to the surface I had some real issues that I had not addressed, you know, in my previous work, and I didn't even know what they were. I mean, I've been really blocked in my life, really blocked, you know. I remember in high school, starting to feel all those, you know, hormone exacerbated emotions and thinking, this is too painful, I'm going to stuff these emotions, and going, you know, and stuffing the emotions. And I haven't gotten them back until recently. And after about 6 months, I just had to call him and say, you know, this isn't working. And I called a man that I'd known for quite a while who had sort of been helpful to me, and I was afraid of him. You know, I respected him a great deal, and he's really helping me. You know, we're going through the steps now out of Paths to Recovery, and he's pointing out how it's different, you know, from my previous experience. And it's really helpful because it really is different, you know. And there's areas that I just had never really considered. And I've got a long way to go, but thanks to you, I'm on that path.
I'm Betty from Kansas.
Hi, Betty.
My first attempt at getting a sponsor did not work, and that is just putting it a little bit mildly. I got into the program back in the early 80s when there were lots and lots of treatment centers around, and everybody was saying, you know, they were signing sponsors before people got out of treatment, so everybody was saying, get a sponsor, get a sponsor, get a sponsor. At the time, I was one of those good little girls that did what people told me to do. That changed. So I decided, okay, I had to get a sponsor. But the first person that I asked said no and handed me off to her best friend. I was mortified. This person and I didn't have any kind of connection. I didn't get anything out of this sponsorship relationship. And so this was, at the time, we were living in a tiny little town in northeast Kansas. And we had been driving all the way to the big city of Topeka for the meetings where she was, and that was my husband who was going to his meeting, and I was going to mine then. I knew where he was. Anyway, so after a few months, we found another meeting closer to home in a small town. And this was, by small, I mean about 4 to 5 people. And at that time, I just very quietly didn't ever call my sponsor again. And I can't to this day remember what her name was. And so in this tiny little meeting, we got to know each other so well that we sort of sponsored each other in the little group. And so you didn't really need to have a sponsor because everybody knew your entire story. And there was always somebody to call. After quite a few years, then, we moved to Lawrence, and here the meetings are bigger, and there's more people, and I started growing a little bit in the program, and then, all this time I had not had a sponsor, but somebody asked me to be their sponsor, and I thought, oh my gosh, I can't do this, I don't know how I don't have one my own self. So by this time I was involved in service work, and I went to an assembly. And there was a person out there that was a past delegate who was just visiting because she was from Arkansas at the time. And I looked at her and I thought, oh, this is the person for me. And so I asked her to be my sponsor, and she said yes. Okay, I'm in Kansas. She was in Arkansas. Now she lives in Oklahoma. But this has been the best relationship. We communicate by email. And sometimes I will call her, but mostly it's by email. And what will happen is I will be really upset, and I'll be typing, typing, typing. And then I'll get to the end of the email, and I'll read what I have written, and then I'll go, okay, now I know what to do. Thanks for listening. And I'll send it. So it's working out very, very well, actually. And in the meantime, I have gotten lots of sponsees in Lawrence, and some are older than I am, some are young, a lot younger, and it doesn't, age doesn't matter. Period of time in the program also doesn't matter, you know. And what I have discovered about sponsorship is that when somebody calls me, I will listen to what they have to say, and then I will go through that Al-Anon computer in my head and find the right piece of literature to use, and I will be able to say something, and they'll say, oh, that's so wise, and I'll say, you'll find that in Courage to Change on page, and they're surprised. But one of the things that I really do emphasize with being a sponsor is it's up to them. They ask me. They decide what kind of sponsor they want me to be. And I have some that call me daily. I have some that will get in touch with me weekly. I have some that I meet with weekly. I have some that call me on a need as a need basis. And you know what? Those they're not growing real well. But that's up to them. I am a tool, and they can use me as they want to. And I get out of whatever other people want me as a sponsor, I'm getting the most out of it because when they call and I have to think of all of the Al-Anon stuff that I have learned, then I am growing in the program. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Sherilyn. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Sherilyn.
I'm really nervous. I'm from BC, Canada. This is like my fourth Al-Anon meeting. I wasn't even sure if I was allowed to come, but my friend took me. But I was just thinking of sponsorship and I was raised, my mom has been part of Al-Anon for 20-something years, but, you know, from a kid looking up, I don't know very much about Al-Anon, hardly anything at all. But from the AA program, one thing I do know, I've been sober for 23 years, and one thing that I do know is over the time that I've been sponsoring people through AA, there's people that, you know, go back out and they drink. And one thing I've learned is the person that goes back out, it is not my job to follow. It is not my job to chase. It is not my job to do any part of that. It is my belief that they have to have the feeling of drowning. And if I keep, you know, sending out the life preserver, they won't have that feeling. And when they, you know, reach out for help, I'm 100% there. And one thing that I have found is the people that I sponsor, and they are out, you know, they're being asked to sponsor. And one thing I've found is there's, you know, in the AA program, sometimes you will find people that will, you know, chase and rescue and do all that kind of stuff if someone slips. And so one thing I have done, one thing I do know about Al-Anon, you guys are absolutely fantastic at letting people go, you know, and leading your own life. So I have, as an AA member, suggested to my sponsees to attend Al-Anon to learn to let go of people that they are dealing with and to lead a very productive life. Because you guys are absolutely fantastic at letting people go and, you know, leading your own life. And that's one thing I do know. And so I haven't been going to Al-Anon all that much. But that, you know, when I run into sponsees that are having a difficult time letting go of someone that they are sponsoring, because we can be very controlling. you know, that is part of the thing that I strongly suggest, you know, for the AA member to attend some Al-Anon meetings and just learn to let go and lead their own lives. And it's really worked in that aspect, you know, to let go of, you know, Because it can be, one thing I've found is some of the sponsees that I was dealing with, they were feeling very, very guilty. Things, it was their fault. Things, they didn't do things right. You know, they weren't available or whatever, whatever reason that they had. And I just know from my mom and from the little tiny bit of experience that I have knowledge about Al-Anon, that's not the case at all. And, you know, I don't know if, I don't know, you know, if this program can be used that way, but I know I do. I send quite a few people to this program. Even though they say they're an AA member and they do have, there's other aspects that I deal with them 100% and that's, you know, between, you know, the AA program. But there's some parts that you guys play a very vital role, and I really want to thank you guys for that.
Thank you.
I'm Debbie from Camarillo, California.
Debbie.
Oh, sponsorship. I'm one of those people who I've had four sponsors. One was a four-legged animal. One was myself. One was somebody I threatened to put down like my four-legged animal when she quit working for me. And then my new sponsor, who I've had for 6 years. I'm a hard case. I still want to do it myself. But what I learned here, when you told me to get a sponsor, I thought, no, I can't do that because I'm not supposed to tell my secrets. I have to learn how to tell my secrets. I need a microphone sponsor because these things make me so scared. So, what I kept hearing in the meetings was find somebody who has what you want. When I got into the program, I had nothing that I wanted anymore. I had learned to hate people with the disease. That's how I was raised. And I didn't know the difference between hating the disease and hating the person who had the disease. And, you know, when I got here, I had a child with the disease. So I had to find somebody who taught me how to re-love him. I didn't, there was no love left for this kid of mine. And My first official human sponsor and program taught me how to do that. And then she moved away. And my loyalty to this person, she moved to the Middle East, for goodness sakes. And the garbage pail was getting ready to tip over, and all the garbage was getting ready to spill out all over my life. And I had to find another sponsor who I had been around. And what she had that I wanted was how to do things with dignity and grace and in a kind and loving manner. And I learned how to do that with my son. I'm new to sponsoring myself, and it took me a while. I've been in program for 10 years, and there's a part of me who does not want, I don't want my sponsees to want what I have. I have a child who passed away from his disease, and that kept me from sponsoring people. And what I'm learning today is that I get to help people learn how to love their, I know we're not supposed to use the word qualifier, but they're individuals that they love to death. And good news is today I don't threaten to put anybody down, and I don't threaten to put my sponsees down, and I get to learn how to do my life different because of sponsorship. So. Thanks. And this is my first international, so I'm so thrilled to be here.
Hi, my name is Susan Reed. I'm a grateful member of Al-Anon.
Hi, Susan.
From North Little Rock, Arkansas. Thank you all. This is a good workshop, and thank you all of the speakers who shared. I appreciate it. I wanted to say a word about sponsoring people and how many is too many. And I think even our pamphlet addresses that. Is there, you know, how many people can you sponsor? Well, no one quite told me the rules, and since there are no rules, it's only suggestions. But what I found out through my personal experience is I can sponsor too many people. And for me, it began when I began being asked to sponsor. I had not yet learned how to say no. I had not learned how to set healthy boundaries for myself. And I remember keeping score, which is real evidence of my disease, like notches on a belt. And at one time I had 14 sponsees. Now, did 14 people have a sponsor? No, not at all. There were a few of them who were actually actively working the program who were calling me. I was glad to share with them, but I was not finding the balance I needed in my life. And so that was God's way, God's tool of helping me learn how to say no when too much is too much. And I had to say no. And the first time I did, it hurt my heart because I have compassion for the newcomer. I have love for the newcomer. I want them to get everything that I've gotten and more. And so it was, my heart was good, but my ego was too big. So God taught me how to say no, and I learned that I could say no. I got another lesson when the first time someone said no to me, someone I'd been sponsoring for quite a while. She was coming along in the program, and she decided it was time to change sponsors. And so she came to me and told me that she needed to move on and get someone else. And I didn't realize how much my ego was bound up in that relationship. I really had an expectation. Expectation is premeditated resentment. Resentment is part of the places where I see myself as a victim. Hello, suddenly I became a victim. I had an expectation that she and I would ride off into the Al-Anon sunset for eternity and would always be together. And that wasn't meant to be. She needed to move on. And once she did, I went through a grieving process. It was hard for me to lose her because she was so dedicated to this program. But her dedication to her own recovery was more important than her relationship with me. And so she did what she needed to do. And I, you know, appreciate that today, although at the time it kind of hurt. And then I had someone who kept calling me who wasn't going to meetings. And she kept calling me her sponsor and kept calling me. She had the swinging door Al-Anon recovery, you know. She'd come in for a while. She'd attend a few meetings when she was in pain. And then she would go away and not come for many months. And then she would, you know, make that frantic call to me, her so-called sponsor, and want solutions. And, of course, my solution was get your butt in a chair. But finally, I had to tell her, you know, I said, if you are not attending Al-Anon meetings, you are not an Al-Anon member. And I can't sponsor someone who's not an Al-Anon member. I'll be glad to be your friend. I love you. I care about you and what happens to you. But I cannot be your sponsor unless you're willing to put some effort into this program and some consistency behind it. And she got her feelings hurt, and she walked away. It wasn't the end of the relationship. She did come back at least one more time. But today she's not active, as far as I know, in any program. And that is her loss, and I feel for her. But I've learned there are limits on what I can do as a sponsor. There's even limits on what I can do as a sponsee, although I haven't found very many. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Bev Brown from Warren, Pennsylvania.
Hi, Bev.
And before I say any more, I am known as a very black belt from Al-Anon. I've been in long enough, I guess, where I just carry that. But when I first came into Al-Anon, I thought that most women, there were mostly women in the program then, you were just a bunch of doormats. And I couldn't understand that because I was stubborn. And it took me a while to ask someone to be my sponsor. And guess what? She was as stubborn as I was. But she taught me a lot. She taught me the real meaning of insanity. She'd ask me that all the time. Bev, have you learned what insanity is yet? Well, you know, insanity, you're going mad and blah, blah, blah. She says, no, no, Bev. It's expecting a different result from the same behavior. And I always thought it was the alcoholic's behavior. It wasn't. But when I was in the program 2.5 years, and we're not going into the dastardly deed, but I did a dastardly deed to the alcoholic. And I learned after that deed that I was capable of murder. I was capable of killing him. And that brought me to my knees. Brought me to my knees. And I called her and I said, okay, you tell me not to compare, but to identify. Identify to what? See, I've been around for 34 years and they never told you anything then. And she says, well, how are you feeling? And I said, hateful? Mad? I said, I was capable of murder. I could have killed him. She says, okay, that's what we're going to identify with. And I thought, okay, identifying with my feelings. But you know what? This hard woman, when she got too hard for me, I would call one of you softies. Because I needed a soft shoulder periodically to rest my weary head on. Okay, so now people are starting to ask me to sponsor them. And this is where my black belt comes in. Because I allow them to share with me their problems, just for a while. And then I have to remind them that as a sponsor, I carry the message of Al-Anon. I don't carry the mess. Does it sound familiar, George? And we start working toward finding out that we're people. We have our likes, our dislikes. And I don't push into steps because I heard years ago, don't worry about the steps will work you. And they do. Because eventually you do get sick and tired of being sick and tired. And you understand that I can't, he will, why not? And then your journey starts. And I don't know. I just, I am so grateful to Al-Anon. Because without the program, I would have no life. And it's very great being here in San Antonio. Thank you.
Thank you, and thank everyone who shared.